Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN. Thanks for joining us for the Lisa Dent Show. Welcome back to the show. Jamal Green is running for mayor of Chicago, the youngest candidate. Jamal, are you 27 or 28?
27.
And you've got a lot of energy, and the plan is big, the epic plan. Let's cover a few of the first points, and then you know we'll get to the police reform, because a lot of text messages are coming in about that. They have questions about that. So how long did it take you to put this together?
We've been working on this for many months. I have an amazing policy team of folks who, we really took a lot of what the community's been giving us, a lot of the great ideas that, I brought forth from last time I ran. Looking at other countries, we've connected with folks in other countries as well, and how they did things in education and business and technology. It took us a lot of work to put together a plan that made sense. There are still some other things that weren't included in the plan that we'll be adding in the next month. But that's number one. Public safety is number one, and people want a safer city, and it's time for a mayoral candidate to give a plan, and we did. And we're the only ones who have given such a very comprehensive plan thus far, and I don't think anybody else will do so.
In the beginning of the plan, in your letter, dear Chicagoans, you said you grew up on the south and west sides of Chicago. You personally witnessed gun violence, and you were just hoping to live to the age of 21.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality that young people are facing each and every day. I was going from, Englewood and Gresham, where my mom raised me, to K-Town on the west side, two of the most violent communities in the city of Chicago. And so, I'm putting out a series about my life. I'm starting today. Episodes going to be releasing three times a week. And one of the episodes today is about the first time that I almost lost my life and watched four people be shot right in front of me, not even a couple feet away from me. And so these are the experiences that I had, and many young people share those experiences today. And we must move forward a plan to provide a safer future for our kids. I'm a father of three boys, and I can't imagine being scared all of the young life of my kids, hoping that they can make it like I was hoping.
Jamal, Paul Vallis is out with his plan as well today, and it seems to be focused not exclusively but a little more on law and order than is yours. You're looking at the root causes, the economic situation. Tell me about the differences there, and then I want you to talk a little bit about what this bank would be, this Chicago bank.
Yeah. So the difference is, and I made it clear today in the Sun-Times, put out a spread about it today, too, is that tough-on-crime rhetoric can never solve the ills of Chicago. And if we continue to elect candidates who say, oh, we're going to be law and order and tough-on-crime, you're going to have this problem for another many decades, or however long that person is in. And you run the risk of having someone who doesn't attack the problem where it should be, and the problems continue to exacerbate. People look at the problems today and like, wow, look at we got 700 plus homicides for 3 years straight, and the carjacking is at numbers never seen. How has it gotten this bad? I'll tell you how. It's because you keep electing candidates who are not investing in the real root causes of why this is the case. Instead, they'll say, oh, we'll just throw more police at it to respond to it. And people look at police as a way to protect them, and that's not true. They're a response system. They do not prevent or solve the community ills of today, and that is the main problem. So our plan is about solving the crises of these communities and the design of the communities, from disinvestment to investing in young people to, making sure we have an economic engine like you just talked about with the public bank.
Having
a public bank where... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you can ask me about it. I was going to go on to it. You go on to it. Go ahead, please.
All right. The public bank is, you know, we leverage over $28 billion in bank institutions who are not partners when it comes to investment, who, you know, do what they want to do with their money, and they don't help the city of Chicago. So my idea is that we create a bank charter for taxpayers, where the taxpayers will invest in this bank charter, and we will levy loans for mortgages, for small business owners, and also build income-based housing to increase our affordable housing supply. And what happens is the money that comes back to the bank, we're not investing in private prisons like the other banks. We're not investing in immigration detention centers and fossil fuel industries. We're investing back in the city of Chicago. So that money can be another funding stream for underfunded schools. That money could be another funding stream to pay down our pension crisis. It makes the most sense. It's very transparent because the 9-member board, 3 elected, 3 appointed by the mayor, 3 appointed by city council, will be transparent in every dollar that's put out and all the money that's coming back in and where that money is going.
All right, now here's the thing. I understand that those are long-term solutions. The problem is people are afraid to go outside today. So you, as mayor, would have to address the long-term causes to this, but you've also got to fix it today. How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, we talked a lot about it in our plan. We talked about intervention, right? And that's the start to talking about it. And when we talk about intervention, you know, you talk about making sure that there is that we're intervening while people are on the wrong path at every state. So, for example, if there's young people who are arrested or drop out of school, we're creating a youth intervention department where we're able to have youth interventionists that will have these young people on their caseloads, and their responsibility is to see where their housing is, to see where what school they're going to, if they're going to school, to provide them with a job opportunity, to provide them with free mental health services, to get that young person on the right path, and they can mandate them to a mentoring organization for 12 months instead of constantly going back to juvie, right? And then you talk about those who end up going to jail. And then when they come out, you know, we're going to have a reentry program inside the jail to make sure that as they're transitioning back home, that that you have the resources needed, whether it's housing, job opportunities, et cetera, so we can reduce the recidivism rate. So we must intervene, and then we must also invest in new technology. So I talked about how we're going to invest in these new light poles that has cameras in them, speakers that also have these call
stations. J-Ball, you know those light poles have been used. Those light poles have been used in parts of the city forever. Nobody even looks at that video.
And the cameras don't work, and that's how we're going to change that. We got folks who build new modern ones that we talked to, and we got these call stations as
let
well
me just interject
that will be implemented
on this too,
on every corner.
You know, first of all, everyone, this is J-Mal Green. He's running for mayor of Chicago. You know that everybody wants crime in the city to be reduced, but you know people don't want to pay for it. They don't want their taxes to go up. They're not willing to give poor folks $1,000 a month for a year. That's part of your plan. One of the big parts that I wanted to get to that we talked about earlier was when it comes to
I'm not saying that we have to levy to increase taxes at all. So I want to make that clear. Go ahead.
Okay. About the CPD reform, the 4-day work week, I think that's brilliant. I think that would probably be welcomed by most police officers. I can't speak on their behalf, but about the officers carrying their
many
own
CPD officers. So yeah,
and they're on board for that.
They're on board. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because let's face it. I mean, the firefighters do what 48 on, 48 off. I mean, however that works out, I think that would certainly give them a moment to catch their breath, and that's what they need. About the officers carrying liability insurance to cover their own misconduct lawsuits. Who offers that kind of insurance? Is that even something that's available?
It's never been done, but it's something that we've talked to, insurance companies and different folks about really putting together this plan. This has been a multi-year plan to talk about this. It's never been done. But the thing is that, you know, this is an idea that we are exploring how to really get through every loophole to say, how are we spending $100 million a year on police misconduct settlements? It makes no sense. And if officers had the liability insurance for themselves, because what happens is you have many officers on the force who incur millions of dollars of settlements, and they stay on the force, and they continue to cost us money. And if they had their own insurance, then there would be some type of board that will say, hey, you know, we can't insure you because you're too much of a risk. And at the end of the day, you know, that just makes more sense in our end. You know, we're looking at a few different plans around this, and I would say this because I've had this conversation with police officers. Of course, they love a lot about the plan, and they don't like a lot which one of these pieces is something that they don't like. And my thing is that we're going to come to a common ground, right? I'm not here to take down police officers or make them feel any way, but I am also not here to continue allowing $100 million a year to go out in something that's not benefiting the taxpayers. And so we've got to come to common ground and figure that out.
Couple seconds left, so let me ask you this. I know that you're opening your Northwest Side office. That is coming up on Saturday. There's also a Disability Mayoral Candidates Forum. Are you going to be there with Chewy and with Mayor Lightfoot as well and then go open your office?
Yes, I'm going to be there at the forum. I'm going to be there at the forum. I don't know if Chewy's going to be. Maybe, you know, depending on the Speaker of the House situation, he got another job to do. And, you know, thankfully the mayor is going to come so we can challenge her. And we're going to also start having town halls on public safety starting on Sunday at both of our offices so we can make sure our plan gets out all across the city.
And one last question. If there is a rival that is running in this race and you don't make it, and they do, who among your rivals would you agree to go work for? To lend your energy.
You know, I'll be honest. I don't like any of them. I think that if there was a candidate in this race that I feel strongly about, you know, I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have a problem whether it had been stepping back in this race beforehand or supporting somebody in the runoff. But I really think that there is no other candidate in this race that really is in tune with the issues how they should have, who has a track record of fighting for the people, who has a connection to the next generation of young people, who have the connection to the neighborhoods that are suffering the most. And so that's why I'm in this race. So obviously when the runoff happens, which we think and we see our numbers, we think that we're going to be in the runoff no matter what the polls and media say. You know, 4 years ago, they said they didn't know who Lori Lightfoot was because that's just how it goes. And what happened? Because the people have a choice, and they're going to choose our way.
The voters will vote who they want, and they'll put them in that position. Thank you so much for joining us, for coming back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jay Malgreen, if you want to see his plan, jump online, Google it, check it out. Steve has your news next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.